One over. This is channel one over. Monday, the 20th of October, 69. This is channel one over. Channel one over. Monday, the 20th of October, 69. This is channel one over. This is channel one over. Monday, October something.
20th.
Now, Mr. Howard knew all those horse people in no vicinity where you worked for a year. And one of them came up.
He talked about a man named Pilkington that was one of the masters of the Cotswolds.
And you didn't know what it...
Well, I thought, I couldn't figure out whether I knew the man he was talking about, or perhaps his son. When I went out with him, we talked it over, and we decided it was his son knew. And that was Major Pilkington. That's how we get on that army stuff. Major Pilkington. He had a horse tilt. He was a character. He was, to my eyes anyway, what an English eccentric should be. He had a mansion with millions of empty rooms and stables behind the back that were never used.
You?
It was in the tape before. He's a silent partner in Pilkington Glass. That's one of the largest glass manufacturing companies in the world.
That's all right.
He had all the things that go with being a wealthy young English gentleman. And he hunted, played polo, and was an army man. And then, by the time I got to know him, he was in pretty poor health. And he would let things go, like his home and the stables and things like that. He was keeping one horse at the tilts. He used to have kept two or three hunters and go out every week, and he was down to one. And he had this eccentric streak in him that came out, of course, as he got older, the more eccentric he got. You'd meet him and he would come down the yard in knickers and those knee socks and heavy walking shoes and a tweed jacket. Sometimes it was a riding jacket, more usually it was a hunting jacket. You know, the Norfolk hunting jacket. And a coat on that looked like his grandfather's dressing gown. It must have been. I don't see what else it could have been. Because it sure wasn't a coat. And a hat of some sort. I never figured out what the hat was. Sometimes he'd wear it and sometimes he wouldn't. But he was quite a sight coming down the yard. And he had a sharp, aggressive manner that would really catch you.
Well, did people notice him?
Oh, yeah, people noticed him. He could sneak up on you. If you were working, he would all of a sudden appear from nowhere behind you and ask you what you were doing. Like he did with us one day, when we were sitting down doing nothing, and he suddenly appeared.
Yeah.
And what did he call you?
Well, we were sitting. This is typical of him. We were sitting in the cage boxes. We were supposedly washing out the boxes. Only we were taking a break. We had all gone down to the service station, gotten cokes. And he was looking for Mr. Tilt. He came by, and he sort of said, almost as if this is his manner, almost as if he owned the place. Are you working, or are you being lazy, or are you having a rest? And of course, we said we were having a rest, because we weren't going to admit we were being lazy. And we had been working. But it was almost, he made you feel almost as if he caught you being lazy, you were going to catch it. And it would come out on things like a telephone conversation. You'd answer the phone with the standard Windmill Hill Riding Academy, may I help you? And he'd say, no, I can help you.
Oh, really?
Oh. And there'd be no, sort of who was in the position to help. He was.
<That's>
And you were just there to carry out whatever instructions he gave you afterwards.
Yeah.
Such as that he wasn't going hunting, and this was after the horse was ready.
Oh.
Do that. He would call after the horse was ready. I wish I could have been with him. Now this is the thing. I really wish I could have gone with him when he was going on these hunts with Mr. Till. It's like I said before, he would talk, and he would tell everything about the country around him, and he knew it all. And I wanted so much to be with somebody who would talk about things like that. I never was. Mr. Worrell, the blacksmith, occasionally talked, but not like Major Pilkington. Major Pilkington knew everybody and knew every place, and he would talk, and he would tell you about it. And of course, coming back, he would quiz you on it, make sure you knew it and gotten it. But that would have been all right. I wish I could have been with him and heard him. Because it would have been a view of the life in that area that I didn't get. He a lot of that things of that sort from Mr. Till. He would talk about him. Give various incidents. That happened when Mr. Tilt was a young man and just opened that, had just built Windmill and just begun his stable.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, what was that about veterinary?
Well, he didn't know Major Pilkington yet. And this manor, you know, is a bit frightening. And he wasn't sure how he was going to take those veterinary bills. He wasn't sure what was going to happen when he showed him that bill with all those great big things on there for doctoring and care and veterinary visits and all that sort of stuff. And Major Pilkington used to come over and go over the bill with him in his businesslike way. And he started going over this bill, and he came to the first Saturday that he'd been hunting, and he told Mr. Tilk about the hunt. He went on down the bill, and each hunt, each charge for transporting a horse to a hunt, he'd tell Mr. Tilk about the hunt, tell him how it went, where the hounds ran, where they started, where they ended, who was master, who was out, and who wasn't there. He just skipped over the vet bills. He didn't even mention them. On down the whole bill that way, and he never mentioned the vet bills. Never even came up. And it just was the sort of thing that wouldn't have come up. Once you got to know him, you'd realize he'd never mentioned the vet bills, because that wouldn't have been part of it. That was an expense was not particularly important.
But Mr. Pilkington, not Mr. Pilkington.
No, Mr. Tilt didn't realize that, because this was when he first had Mr. Major Pilkington as a client. The few gentlemen in England left that still only pays his bills in pounds and shillings and leaves off the pence.
Yeah.
As a gentleman, he can't be bothered with that.
That's nice.
He can't. He would frighten the others. But,
Oh, really?
Well, yes, he was a bit frightening. Because of this, he expected instant obedience, and for you to be there or not when he wished exactly as he wished, and not to interfere if he didn't want you there. But I always had the feeling with Major Pilkington that if you were to answer him back and give as good as you got in a pleasant sort of way, that he appreciated it, that he enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And
he probably would enjoy it.
Probably,
I can see that.
But I never got to know him like I wanted to. I never saw enough of him, and of course I wasn't grooming his horse, and that was, if you were grooming his horse, even then you didn't see a whole lot of him. But he's one of the people I really would have liked to have gotten to know well. His horse was sensitive about the mouth. And he would spend the whole time he had a bit in his mouth, he'd spend it shaking his head up and down and around and up and down again. And it really took strong riding to get him to keep his head still. Under Mr. Tilk, I was able to do it a few times, but only in Mr. Tilk's lessons. Major Pilkington would get on that horse and ride him as if he were playing polo, with a double bridle, which would be more prone to make most horses throw their heads, with his hands out on the end of the reins. He'd do polo turns on him. He'd swing his riding stick around as if it were a polo stick. And sometimes he would get in the school and do mock polo games. And that horse didn't shake his head. He would accept it and go forward with his head quiet. This is one of the things I never saw, but Mr. Tilt was so amazed with. And it was style of riding. It was part of the man's character. But it looked a bit rough, but he was always thinking of his horse. He had the British officer's training and attitude toward a horse, that no matter how hard that horse worked, when he was through working, you took care of him before you took care of yourself. And if he could take Spangles out hunting and hunt for four or five hours, and it'd be hard work for the horse, but when he came back, he'd make sure that he would stop where the horse could drink. He'd loosen the girth. He'd do all these things that one does to help the horse. And then when he got back to the stable, he would go with the groom to check the horse, to make sure it was all right. And then he would go up to the house for his coffee, and he'd chat a while. But before he left, instead of just leaving right after that, he would come back down and see the horse again to make sure that everything was taken care of, that his horse was all right, before he would leave. And he'd leave you with the impression that that was more than he'd do for a person. I think it was an impression. But it's part of the character that he was, the rather eccentric character to an American's view, anyway.
But he'd go up for that little talk.
Oh yeah, he'd go up to talk with Mr. Till. I suppose, knowing him, he probably would talk about the hunt. I don't know. Mr. Tilt never divulged what they talked about.
I didn't know what they talked about. They just put it in words what they've been doing. He'd report.
He may have been too tired to report when he went up for that cup of coffee. Mrs. Tilt was the one who was talking about that. And she didn't give any sort of light on what they were talking about. I imagine from what I heard of him that he was talking about who was there. Because when I knew him, of course, he wasn't actually hunting. He was just going to talk to the people that were there. And I gather that when he would talk, he would go into so-and-so was there, and then he would go through the family history. And they Major Pilkington was, I think, a favorite client. Mr. Tilt liked him because he was a character. I think characters like that appeal to Mr. Tilt. He enjoyed them.
What's that?
Wait till I get Pussy started jumping. Now, when I'm training a horse to jump, I talk about it.
About jumping.
I talk about jumping, and that leads to hunting automatically, almost.
Yeah, and you're looking at the plate, too.
That's funny, you didn't have the tape on. You ought not to have had the tape on.
Leaf, I don't know why you get involved and feel guilty about animals, but I felt a great relief this morning when he looked at Bruce's feet and said, before you came through the gate, Barbara, as you were coming through the gate, I'd say. He said, I can tell from here. It's not bad.
Yeah, I can imagine what he was seeing then.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine what he was seeing.
But
well, it's true, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Barbara, the other thing you had to work with, though, was just way off from this real horseman. You had to put up with Miss Tilk when she's sick, and then a lot of that little prep school atmosphere around there. I don't know how you did it so well.
I did do it well. You know where I'm going. Do it, be to wad it up and throw it in the trash can, and you can start over.
And you wouldn't worry your friends. That's
no,
the main thing.
No.
And would you please tell me about Miss Tilk? I want to hear this.
Somebody else.
I want to hear Miss Tilk.
Well,
and
Barbara's not got a mind on Miss Tilk, honey.
Barbara's gone stubborn. Barbara's not going to talk about Miss Tilk.
Like Pussy.
Yeah.
Well,
like
I'll tell
Pussy.
You what I'll do. I'll read Debbie's letter.
I want one more little episode. I just can't stand it now. We got going now.
She was having trouble with him because he would throw his head up and down.
Yeah.
And so we went out on the road. I don't know whether I can remember it properly. But we went out on the road, and she showed me what he was doing. She loped him up the road a bit. And then she pulled him to a stop. Sure enough, he was going up the road with his head sideways. And then when she stopped him, he would throw his head up and down. Now, not as bad as I thought they were talking about. So I tried to explain to her about stopping a horse by, instead of just pulling back on the reins, getting a contact and then pushing the horse up to the contact. And I told her I wasn't sure how it worked with Western horses and a hackamore, because I'd never worked with a hackamore. But it ought to work. And she let me get on Little Man. She rode Tony. And I loped Little Man up the road and tried it with him and put just a little more contact than she was riding with. And sure enough, he stopped beautifully and he didn't throw his head. So then I just walking, I had her try it with Tony. And she got the idea. I told her just to push her stomach out. And she kind of looked at me, but... just to push her stomach out and keep her hands still. and tried. And Tony, being the little fella he is, he just stopped.
Oh.
Tony was, he was ever so cooperative. And she tried it with Tony a few times. And it worked very well. And then she came back. She rode little man out while I was doing something else. I forget what. She came back. She said she tried it with him. And it was working. And it was good. And then when we went to the auction Friday night, I asked her again. She said, well, she'd been working on it. And she was, her stomach muscles were sore and her the muscles of her thighs were sore. She said, do you think I'm doing it wrong? I said, no, you're doing it right. More likely you're doing it right than you're doing it wrong. But she said, little man, stop. And that's the test. That's how you know whether you're doing it. Yeah, that's how you know whether you're doing it right or not.
Yeah.
But we, at the same time when we were going up and down, we were talking about what those horses could do. And she was talking about little man and Tony barrel racing. And how what a great barrel racer Tony was. And she said that that Frank had gotten a pair of spurs for Tony. And when he went, he said, she said, when he used those spurs, that horse really went. And that was just great, you know. Horse could really go. And I sort of asked her what kind of spurs they were. And they were a type of English spur, but they're roweled spurs and they're sharp. And she wasn't thinking about that. All she was thinking was that Tony could go. Was that he did go when Frank had those spurs on. She wasn't thinking about whether those spurs, I don't know, maybe Frank's never drawn blood with them. But it's easy to do. And it just didn't occur to her.
I wouldn't think Frank had a very easy touch. He's just a pretty sturdy boy.
Well, he's a pretty sturdy boy, yeah. I wouldn't think he had all that light of touch either. And he enjoys, he and Tony, they get out there and they go for, he gallops every place he goes. Tony enjoys it. So why worry? But this, now Laura never thinks about it as being harmful. I know Frank doesn't. And she wasn't thinking about those spurs. She just wasn't thinking about them at all. All she was thinking was what she saw, what the result she saw. And she just didn't occur to her.
That horse is so willing.
With Tony?
Yes.
Oh, Tony, yeah. Tony, yeah. He's got something. He just, you don't even have to be on him to see it, but if you are on him, you can feel it. That. Okay, let's go. What do you want to do? How you gonna go? You ready, Bob? It's just like that. I don't know, that little horse, I saw him come down off that trail and I thought, oh Lord, you know, what is it? But he's got something. I love him. I've only ridden him once.
Uh-huh.
But he's just all attention. He's just all listening.
Yeah.
And I don't even think Frank needs those spurs, if truth be known. That may be why why she's never seen what they can do, because maybe Frank doesn't really need them, and maybe Frank doesn't really use them.
Yeah.
But they look good.
Might influence the judges.
influence his friends.
Yeah.
Oh, that! But that little horse, he's got a spark. Just.
And he's pretty. He's pretty.
Oh, in a way.
Yeah. I guess it's the spark that makes him.
It's, yeah, I think so, because he's weedy.
Yeah,
He's tiny and he's weedy.
Yeah, that's right.
He looks like he never grew up properly.
That's right, a stunted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Little man's a bit the same way.
Yeah, as if they hadn't been fed right.
Yeah, they look like they hadn't either one of them been fed right when they were little.
Yeah.
And, but Tony's got a spark that keeps him alive, and little man's attentive, but he hasn't got that spark. I've met very few horses like Tony.
Is that right?
Yeah. I met very few that really. There was a little chestnut I worked with up in North Carolina that I just loved. He had that same sort of get up and let's go. Where are we going now? Attitude.
And love to be ridden.
Yeah. And not many horses. I think you see it more in ponies. Ponies can be a lot more stubborn, but if they're for you, they're all for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But,
well, maybe that's a pony in her.
In Tony.
In Tony?
In Tony.
He's got a good bit out of it, you know, ain't he?
Yeah, it could be. I don't know what it is. It's just there, though. Right? Well, I like the Arabian.
Uh-huh.
Arabians are lovely as a breed. They're lovely horses. I mean, well, you know, I haven't met too many of them, but they all the ones I have met have a fire to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether you know it or not, but the Arabian horse is what's given fire to every breed of horse just about in the world. You can take any breed and you'll trace it back. If it's noted for its outside of the hard working breed, the heavy horses, any breed outside of those, any Western breed at any rate, can be traced back to the Arabian. The thoroughbred, the foundation sires of the thoroughbreds are the Darley Arabian, the Godolphin Barb, which is a type of Arabian, and another horse that's Arabian. And they were crossed with cold-blooded English stock to get a bigger, faster horse. But it goes, the fire that's in them comes from the Arabian. And anytime you want to improve your blood stock, all you got to do is throw in a little Arabian.
Oh, really?
And it'll come out a better horse, maybe a bigger, better horse than the Arabian itself. But they've got that, there's something about that Arabian blood that puts a spark into the cold blood when you breed it to something else.
I never heard anyone, no one ever told me that.
Well, all I've known is that I've read it.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And I used to, you know, this is why I wanted that little Arabian coat.
Yeah.
So badly. And
but you wouldn't make him an offer.
Well, I did, but it's a good thing, I guess, we didn't get him, because I understand that as much as that had on his leg, it was been bad.
Well,
yeah.
Tony then is one of the interesting horses around here then.
Yeah. He's one of the characters.
Well, little man, not so interesting.
Little man's nice. That's about the most you can say for him.
He's got a nice, exceptionally good lope, you say.
Yeah, he does. Well, he's got long stride. A lot of horses have that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not all that much exceptional about little man.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing to make you stand up and look at him. He's rather ugly just to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And to ride him, he's comfortable, and he's willing.
You think
but he's nothing exceptional.
You think Molly's best part is her sweetness when you're just walking with her? I don't mean all her,
yeah,
I mean with her.
Yeah, Molly's nice to talk to. Molly is Molly has to have something to interest her. And I haven't found out what she likes. Besides a good gallop across the bottom fast back pasture.
She likes to run.
Oh yeah, she likes to run. But staying on her while she's running is another problem.
Oh, yeah.
I think she'd like to jump. I really do. I think she'd probably like to jump more than Pussy would.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I think that'd keep her interested. Keep her interest a bit. She likes to move. She enjoys moving.
How do you suppose she's... Why are you supposed to be the largest horse?
Yeah, she's sweet to everybody.
And she's sweet to everybody. She really... She stands back. And takes her place.
I don't know.
That's a Morgan, I'd say.
That's what he said. That's the Morgan.
Yeah.
Mr. Eastman said.
Yeah. I guess that's right.
Well, now that's another story.
What's the Morgans?
No.
Or what?
Staying on Molly when she lopes.
Right. Well. You mean her being short coupled and all?
Yeah, well.
Kind of.
Being able just to pick up stories like that.
I can go through a thing so many times and then I get sick of it.
No. It improves with age.
Well, you haven't given it any time to age. You just. While I throw it around a little bit, maybe I'll think about it.
Now, that was a gay session. We were working Bob Rover to talk into the microphone, use a full voice, and not always cut ahead in the other direction. But it's such a pleasure, such a pleasure. So you had a note from Debbie, a second one, relating her adventures, and she said she had opened roughing it. And a note from Nick. He and Susan were listening to the Chopin and were over at Dr. Harrison's. He said that Molly had told him sometime before that everything was all right. Of course, we had the vet examine Molly to see if she'd settled with a cold. Now, this is Channel 1 over, around 485. Around 485, Channel 1 over. On Monday the 20th of October, 69. Monday the 20th of October, 69. Now this is Tuesday the 21st of October, 69. Supper time. This is Tuesday the 21st of October, 69. This is at supper. Supper time. Eating early tonight. It's just 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. Didn't hear the news. Mowed out some of that dog fennel. That beautiful flowering dog fennel, supposed to frost in a month after it flowers. As heavy as the flowering is, the frost must be mighty heavy. This Channel 1 over on Tuesday at supper, the 21st of October, 69.
I can't believe it. That's right. 5 minutes. There's 12 laying on the ground. But we got there, we can take you and kill you, that's every one of them. Me and Alan were away in the woods last night, about this time we came out of the woods last night.
Well, if he's got 3,000 acres, how you know there's not more?
That's it.
Well, this wasn't wild, see, this was just a demo.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
That's right.
I can understand it with a gentleman, or the wild one, somebody out shooting in the woods. It's right up within the house. Right.
See, within 400 yards of the house.
Oh, I didn't understand that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my, that's terrible.
It's in walking distance. I mean, you can hear people talk that close.
Nobody there all day?
Not until after noon, and then just some small boys there. Alan's boys.
Was Alan working all day?
Yeah.
Nobody left for a fight?
Yes, but they're not dependable.
You want to watch out?
Well, now, Alvin's got a sister lives there in the trailer, but she stays in the house all the time, where it's cool, air conditioning. Air conditioning running, and television going, you ain't going to hear stuff like that. Just the women around there, all the men folks work.
Well, I could understand shooting a cow and drag and taking it off.
I can too.
Shooting a cow and leaving it there.
I'm just leaving and leaving.
And
right
butchering it, yeah.
Well, the sheriff's department says it's the worst episode they run up on in the time to come.
Never heard anything like that. Does he have enemies?
No enemies.
Well, that ain't a better man in the state of Florida that I know of than Alvin Thomas.
You can just tell by looking at him, listen to him talk.
He's never harmed nobody.
He never harmed nobody. Never irritated anybody.
That's right. He's just not the author of such stuff as that. I guess that's the reason me and him stick so close together. See, he's from up in the mountains too.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
Sure. His wife is from Grundy, Virginia.
It's on the other side of the mountain?
Yeah. And she's just a nice shooting baby.
She don't look like any mountain girl, does she?
She works up there at one of the sorority houses in university.
Oh, is that what she does?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's big cheese at one of them.
Big cheese?
She's big in the kitchen part of it. Head cook and all that kind of stuff.
Well, don't tell me.
Yes, sir. Yeah, Alvin had this one up, this little black one down here, he had its mate. See, their mama got killed. Well, that was one of the cows that got killed, was their mama.
Yeah.
And it finally came in, so he was pinned it up. He was going to load it up in the pickup tonight and bring it down to let it be with this one, see, so they wouldn't grieve for each other.
Yeah.
See, they run together with their mama.
That's the one he couldn't catch.
That's right. He finally got back in the pen, and he was going to bring it down to be with this one here, see, so it wouldn't be so lonesome. Going without the milk and the mama and all that kind of junk. So he's going to bring it down tonight.
You know, he looked like he had a spell of sickness the morning yesterday. It seemed like a week ago. Yesterday morning when you all was out here.
I can tell you, it hurt that man. I ain't joking.
Well, tell us.
Well, now they all didn't belong to him. He don't know. There's two that he's in doubt about, whether they're his or whether they belong to the other man. But it looks very much like they belong to him. They follow his markings. As you know, we never got to them in time to actually tell.
Mm-hmm.
They were too far gone. tore up, that man can't work. He's not turning out half the work he ought to. Or he could last week. And it's got me tore up. I can't turn out nothing. I just might as well stay home. I ain't joking. Today's been the bummest day I ever spent, Brady.
Is that right?
Well, you can't stay at home and be worse than home. And
yeah. No, if I stay home, I know what I'd be doing. I'd be riding little man. I would. I'd have my shotgun and pistol. I'd be riding little man.
Well, the one that Alan does is, I don't know, what can you do?
You can't catch him. I checked with the Florida Forest Service today, and if you've got a fence all around your property, or any part of your property is fenced all the way around with a gate on it, it is automatically posted.
Now that's a new regulation.
That's a new law came out this year. It is automatically posted. So all you'd have to do to automatically post your place would be to put a chain across your driveway down at the end of the lane.
Mm-hmm.
It'd automatically be
posted. And we threatened to do that every once in a while, haven't we?
That's right. And you know, I think it'd be a good thing since all this has come on. You don't know.
I'm not a gate. I'll just resurrect that. Don't you know down there? That
yeah.
Bar?
Yeah.
Now they, somebody just wasn't out hunting, could you?
No, they just wasn't out hunting. No.
Well, it's past that now, isn't it?
It's done past that. It is just pure deliberately. They just shot them cows to see them fall. It had to be. There ain't out of 100 people in a bunch of woods, there ain't gonna be that many mistakes made. Out of 100 people.
Well, you might hit one in the side or something.
Yeah, you know, I think a person has to be sort of out of his head, sort of cracked. You know, like in Chicago boys were back in the 20s.
Well, Alvin Bonds can give me anything he has. All I have to do is just ask him for it. He'll do anything for me. And I'd do anything for him. But you just when he come to work this morning, that man has aged 10 years, looks like.
Why would you, could
he? I've never saw Alvin Farns come to work with circles under his eyes like he'd been on a drunk, but now that's just, don't tell him I said so, but that's just the way he looked this morning.
Well, I can imagine.
He never slept none last night. He never eat no breakfast this morning. And I know he didn't eat no supper last night. I know he didn't.
Well, I can't sleep when I got a cow that's sick. I just wake up. You know, just a minor thing. You just worry about it.
If we were to go out there and see one of those cows, how we are. I mean, just put the fence and 12 of them.
That's right.
Well, you know, I banked on that over here all the time. People over here civilized. Now, I feuded with my neighbors a little bit, but we never bothered each other.
Yeah.
You know, it's just all that
everyday living.
Well, Cookie, I remember how I felt. Guys didn't show it as much as I did. Went down here in the back pasture one day and found somebody had cut our fence, cut the fence, taken a mosquito bait through. And it was just wide open, the cattle could go right out. It made me feel so bad.
Yeah. And I knew who that was. That Arthur and them fellas over there. They went through that lane and down to the grove. They knew where to go.
Yeah.
And when they left, they just didn't bother to
put the fence up.
And they all got cows were back there, you know. Well, Guy was pretty good natured about it. That's the only time I know, but I felt pretty awful.
Yeah.
If anybody would leave anything down that cows might get out and hurt things at.
Yeah.
I didn't care about the fence.
Well, that's the reason we didn't get down here last night. See, we was going by to pick up Frank at Alvin's house. And they said, when we got there, they said, we found some more.
Hmm.
So we went to the woods. And by golly, we saw. We didn't have to take nobody's word for it, just right there.
Last thing you expected.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
but the sheriff's department have got enough evidence. They can just catch the man. They got fingerprints from the shotgun shells and the rifle cartridge box. They got fingerprints from that.
Oh, awesome.
But now they, where they shot them cows, they had stuck dog fennel up in the hole where they shot them cows. That's true.
Well, Cody, you didn't tell me that.
It's right there. You can see it.
Stuck dog fennel.
They stuck dog fennel in the hole where they shot them cows. One of them was shot 12 times, and another one that we checked close was shot 9 times. Now you imagine anybody stooping low enough to shoot a cow or anything after she's done and hit the dirt and dead. Just think of it.
I don't think I've even read anything that like that.
Well, it's right out there. If we got the evidence. If the odor wasn't so bad, I'd take you out there and just show you. I would.
He got his clothes in the car.
I don't know what they're going to do. You see, the sheriff's department has stepped in and took over now. They didn't want us in the field and in the pasture tonight. Of course, we saw nobody last night. Well, they was in there all day today, and they'll be in there all night tonight. The sheriff's department will, but there'll be no evidence that they're there.
Well, this was two nights in a row, wasn't it?
That's right.
They had their nerve.
I wonder if those fellows on the posse, they come up against all sorts of curious things. I bet you they'd have ideas about what happened.
They've already been out there.
Yeah.
There were 6 carloads out there yesterday.
Oh?
Sure was.
Some of these fellows have had a lot of experience with cattle.
That's right, that you have.
And they can almost tell anything that happens. They know about it, they know how people act.
Honestly. Bob Crane, he's in head of the posse. He's lieutenant, he was out there yesterday, and then their stable manager, Pee Wee Gillum, Morgan Hawthorne, he was there.
Pee Wee Gillum, have I heard of Pee Wee Gillum?
He was over there, he was out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then some of them that I didn't know.
But Pee Wee's been around.
Yes, sir, he's been around, and he knows cattle, too.
He knows cattle, and he knows cattle men.
Yes, sir. Now, I'm real pleased with this cow down here, though, that was wounded. She's getting along real good.
Oh, one down here that was hurt.
Yeah, we've got one down here that was wounded, but she's getting along real good. She's not near as stiff as she was yesterday. And I walked in the field down there, and the little calves, after they seen who it was, well, they took off and kicked up their heels, and here she go and kicks up her heels. So she's going to be all right. Just take time. Don't want to push things on her. Because she's liking to run herself to death after she was hit.
Yeah.
We can give her stuff to make it heal up right quick, but that's not the thing to do. The thing to do is to let that bullet work back out. It'll come back out.
Alvin doesn't have any idea.
None at all.
I could have brought her up tonight. I kept thinking y'all were sure.
Well, see, we missed half a day's work. Well, the vet says it's the best not to. Not to give penicillin until it starts to heal.
Oh.
Leave it drain. Penicillin will start it to heal.
Oh.
See? Leave it drain. He said, leave it drain and let Mother Nature have her way. Encouraging guy. But we're still going to put Ryan.
Just can't think about putting in Rye anything else.
Well, I'll tell you, it might be a good thing to sort of have him think about it and, you know, get into it, all of us. Because the cows he's got, he might just help him out more than anything.
Well, now, he's, we talked about it when we were sitting out there in the woods last night. We plan to come down this weekend and start something.
I forget how much.
From yesterday morning, see.
Oh.
See, I missed yesterday morning, all morning.
Oh, yeah.
But it was, if push had come to shove, I had to.
Now, has he got?
Well, he's got all three or four left up there that's got a little black Angus in them, and they just went wild.
Yeah.
If they're not dead. Now, he's got one little Holstein, half Holstein and half black Angus heifer that he was saving for a brood cow seed that he's bringing down tonight. And that'll be all. If these were so tame, you'd walk right up to them.
That's the heck of a thing.
Well, that's what I was thinking about.
After no sport and killing and shooting.
That's what I was thinking about. If he had some more tame ones over there, I'd sure hate. I'd put them in the house or something.
Well, let me tell you, his wife. You ought to saw her. I mean, Sunday. That poor woman. She started crying when they first found about old Bessie being shot, and she come to church crying. That was a big $350 Guernsey cow.
Why, a cookie?
That's right. She was worth $350 to anybody's money. He could sold her to a dairy. That's how good she was. that's the truth.
And they used, and they milked her.
When they didn't have calves on her, they milked her.
Mm-hmm.
But rather than go buy milk for their baby calves that they got from the dairy,
yeah.
See?
Yeah, oh, I see.
They'd put them on Old Bess, and she'd just take them and own them just like it was her own.
Yeah.
They could raise 6 calves off of her a year.
Yeah.
Why, well, I cook it.
That's the truth, 2 at a time. Turn them right out and let her go.
Yeah. But,
this one down here is the same way. That was wounded. She'll raise 2 calves at a time.
Raise them to the way it sells for veal? 300 or 400 pounds.
Yeah. Big as these little calves down here, big as this black one down here now. That's true.
You know, as they go along, you see, they get bigger, of course, and they don't have quite as much milk. But just a little milk carries them way on.
Keeps them moving.
Yeah, that's right. Keeps them moving.
That's right. It's like your car, when it gives out of gas, if you can just get a little bit of gas there, why, it'll just keep moving a little bit at a time. Just like the same way with a calf. You just keep a little gas there and it'll keep moving.
Yeah. Just a little bit. And if they, you take them clay off of milk, they just don't thrive.
They just go to nothing. Take Old Bess, that old big cow, and pull 2 calves off of her and wean them, or sell them, put 2 more right back on her and feed her just a little bit and get her started mending, boy, she'll start pouring the milk. That's the way with this old nigger down here now.
You know,
the berries.
3 days old.
That's right.
Heavy.
Sure, big calves. Put them on a milk cow or a bucket, and they never slow down. Now, I tell you, you don't want to buy too quick.
It's not going to hurt them to let that calf stay there for a couple of days.
Because the milk is no good.
Yeah.
And the first 2 days' milk is what a calf needs.
Yeah.
If they get the first 2 days' milk, they're going to go right on and never slow down. They'll take any kind of milk then. But if they don't get it,
oh.
If they don't get it, you ain't going to, you'll be lucky if you raise that calf.
Hmm.
That's right. And you could just weigh out, just work it there.
That's right.
I've seen that done. It works.
Time to fertilize in those.
No. Get up.
Wait till they get up. Just start, up out of the ground about that far.
Yeah.
Would that be the same thing with rye?
That's right. Okay. Same thing. Because if you put it down there now, by the time your rye or your oats gets up, your main strength, your fertilizer, is going to be washed away.
Yeah. And what you want to do is last a long time.
That's right.
Stretch it out.
It'll last longer and do you more good. It ain't going to do you no good now. It ain't going to put them oats up any faster.
Yeah.
Or the rye, either one.
Sure,
I mean, He's right into it, head over heels. He's pushing it with every effort.
Yeah.
And what I'd like to do is to get Alvin away from everything just for a few days, just to get him settled down, because he's called to the telephone a dozen times a day, if not more.
Is that right?
Wanting more information from the Sheriff's Department and Cattlemen's Association. All of them. They're all behind. They're all just out there pushing for everything they got. Because
oh,
it's got to stop. This has got to stop somewhere.
Do you know, it's
happened other places. They announced it. See, I got out of the hospital. When did I get out of the hospital? And the following Monday, I went to Gainesville to pick up prescription. helmet with me, and I said, well, let's drive out to the livestock market, see our cattle selling. And before sale started that day, sheriff's department was there, and they announced that it had been that past week they'd been investigating and had found, got a tag number off of a Volkswagen and checked the tag number back to a university student. That's right.
And you didn't have to do it. She would fit to the rhythm of the music. She would listen to it and fit to it. Yeah. She was great. She was nice anyway. She had a good future that night.
So she'd bomb off.
Well, not to the music.
Yeah.
Well, that was because she was only a 4-year-old. She was a baby like Tootsie. And
was she bow-legged like Pooja?
No, she wasn't bow-legged. She was all fine and delicate and beautiful, and she knew it too. Other vain creatures.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Isn't that amazing? A cow knows it.
Yeah. Oh, how eight vain 18 years.
Oh, yeah.
See his horse was vain. That was a horse that he was a peacock. Yeah.
Do you all
love Shaw?
In your collecting now, if Donald has in his library, it won't help you. You have to collect it too.
We do a lot of duplicating. Because we're never in the same place.
And that's the cutest thing. Barbara said she knew all five of her records by heart, but Donald couldn't remember what he had.
No, we duplicate because, well, for instance, on records, I've gotten Donald a couple of things that I know I would like for myself. I got him a classic guitar record that he fell in love with the first time he heard it. I'd already had it for 6 months before I gave it to him because I couldn't bear to let it go. But
you could keep a tape.
Yeah, I could keep a tape, except that I'm the only one in the family. Now, my dad, my brother. This is another place where we duplicate. Don's got a tape recorder, and Dad's got a tape recorder. Don's got a stereo, and Dad's got that really good hi-fi he got in Moorhead. And I sit around with neither one. And I don't dare buy one because I can just see what they would say if I walked in with not another one. Oh, it's all right when I'm at school, but when I come home,